Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hope y'all had a fantastic weekend. Welcome to episode 46 of Outside the Chute. I'm your host, Randy Frame. You ever feel like you're in that 90s Tom Hanks movie, Groundhog Day? Because I certainly do right now. We're back on lockdown here in Nova Scotia because of the rise of cases, and it sucks. I really miss being able to socialize with people, you know? You know, going to a patio and having a few drinks, having a family barbecue, you know, pitching in a ball game where the umpire is behind the plate and not behind me on the mound. You know, just the little things like that. Man, I wish we could just snap our fingers and things would go back to the way they used to be before this COVID nonsense. Yeah, anyways, I had to get that off my chest. Hopefully we can get back on track and get back to somewhat normalcy. Before we get to the OTC Player of the Week, I need to give a shout out to two former guests of the show, Steve Mullally and Jason Hill, as they're going to be launching their new podcast this coming Thursday called Dust Up with Hilly and Lolly. I know this is going to be absolutely hilarious. Their first guest is Rob O'Brien, who we're actually going to be interviewing this week here on Outside the Chute. So, you know, I'm real excited for that. I'm sure they're going to have some funny stories up their sleeves. So be sure to tune into them on Thursdays, wherever you listen to us at. Again, that's Dust Up with Hilly and Lolly. Now on to this week's OTC Player of the Week, and we're heading down to Virginia as Braylon Villa of the Fluvanna County Flukos, I hope I said that right, takes home the honors. Braylon was awarded this based on one game this week, where she went 5-for-5 with a grand slam, a 3-run homer, a 2-run homer, a double and a single, and a whopping 11 RBIs. That's impressive stuff right there. Fantastic job, Braylon, and best of luck the rest of the season. On to this week's guest, and we sat down and chatted with U.S. Men's National Team member and Las Vegas, Nevada native Yusuf Davis Jr. Yusuf is another one of those baseball players that has made the transition to fast pitch and has had tremendous success so far in doing so. He's already made his way onto the U.S. Men's National Team, captured a silver medal at the 2019 Pan Am Games, and has been named to an ISC All-World Team in just 7 years of playing the game. We're going to talk to Yusuf about getting a start in the game, what it was like growing up in Long Beach, California, some of the people who have helped him along the way, traveling to play down in New Zealand, and of course, much, much more. Opie and I had an absolute pleasure chatting with Yus. He's such a positive guy, which I'm sure you'll hear coming through in this interview. So as usual, grab that drink, sit back, relax, because here we go. I got the world in my palm. Lights, camera, action, it's on. I can't describe what I'm feeling. Ain't never felt this freedom. I got the world in my palm. Hi there. There you go. You got me this week.
I did.
All right.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. How was your week?
Let me think on that one. That
you was much time. Come on.
It was pretty quick, actually. It was,
yeah?
Well, we had our hockey playoffs going on, and now we don't have our hockey playoffs going on.
Yeah.
Everything's shut down, and we're back to square one, it seems.
Yeah, it's not good, like a little bit good. We had 44 cases today in Nova Scotia alone.
Yeah.
So some asshole, excuse my English, some asshole decided to be selfish and moved here from out of province. Hosted a barbecue or something of that nature. I mean, these could be rumors too, but I also heard there was a baby shower with people from out of province.
Yeah.
And then it became, they were COVID positive, and then they spread their COVID then they spread their COVID to, some other people, and then it's gone rampant since.
It's so frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
Considering, you know, we've almost been, you know, like the envy of the country here in America.
Yeah, 100%.
And now it's just like, come on, man.
Although I think we probably still are in a sense that.
I guess so,
if you look, in Ontario, for instance, yesterday, I think they had 3,512 cases or something.
Yeah.
Like I know in versus population, what have you, but it's still a lot of people having COVID.
Yeah, for sure.
And at the same time, you're right. Like us being envied because our numbers were down. We look like dog shit right now.
Yeah.
And I have to say hats off to Dr. Strang and our premier Ian Rankin for actually you know, pulling the chute outside of the chute and actually closing things down again.
Yeah.
I think probably a lot of people think that it should have been done a little earlier, and they did go into a kind of a panic and just shut the shit out of everything, but hats off to them for doing it.
It's the right thing.
It's the right thing for sure. And I know it sucks. Hockey's canceled now for playoffs for you guys. Our dome sessions are done well until we can get back. There's all kinds of little things that are, you know, it's going to be, I guess we're kind of like we were last year at this point where everything is being shut down.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not near as nervous as I was last year.
Right, exactly.
Brand new.
Yeah, we kind of know going forward what, you know, I think what we know we're going to be able to do.
Yeah. And what we need to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and on that note, I went and had a rapid COVID test.
I was going to ask you about your swab.
Yeah. Swab. So I actually wish it was an ass butt swab because that was terrible.
Told you, man.
I felt like they were poking me and it went like in my nose, down my throat, touched my belly. Like it was way the fuck in there. And she says, okay, I'm going to count to five while it's in there. She said, and just watch me and I'll count down with my fingers. I'm thinking, watch you. My eyes are watering like a son of a bitch. I can't even open my eyes right now. And those 5 seconds felt like, I don't know, 25 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And the funny thing, when I got mine done, I said to the nurse that did it, or I don't know what, you know, the people that do it.
The hitchhiker.
Just being like typical guy. I'm like, I'm not really crying.
Yeah.
Of course she knows I'm not fucking crying.
She just saw 6,000 other people do the same thing. Like, yeah.
Like idiot I am.
But, so I stood outside for an hour and 45 minutes, walked around the entire Sackville stadium.
Stadium. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the good thing was, it was really warm today.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It was crazy. It was snowing.
-7 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
excuse me.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, going forward, like we said, we know what we have to do.
Yeah.
And, we just got to follow protocols and, you know, try and get back to where we were.
Yeah. And hopefully in 2 weeks it relaxes and then they let us back out. Type thing.
Exactly. But everybody's got to follow the rules.
I just don't want them to shut down the ball season.
No, I know. I think we'll be all right. We're projected to start 1st of June, which, you know, it's a month and
a little
couple
bit.
Weeks away. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm positive we're going to get
started. Yeah, I certainly hope you're right. Yeah. And I'm being selfish as well. My son's supposed to get married the end of June.
Oh, that's right.
Down at Digby Pine. So I'm really hoping that it's not a five-person thing or six-person thing or whatever. Actually, that's what I said to my wife last night. If it gets kiboshed, my son said, Dad, I'm getting married no matter what. I don't care.
Right.
I was like, okay. So then I looked at the rules. I thought it said five people plus the minister.
Minister.
So then my wife said, so five people, that means me and you and Nat's parents, Bert and Peter. I said, yeah, that's five with Jake and Nat. That'll be Bert and Peter, Nat and Jake and me, or you're not going. Yeah. We have a great relationship.
Yeah. And then you have the twins.
Yeah. They're not coming.
They're not coming.
Too busy.
So, yeah. So anyway, I mean, we touched on a little bit, before we started recording here about, the possibility of something happening in the Maritimes here.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at what the country's like right now, as far as COVID goes and regulations and what have you, it's not looking like nationals are going to take place.
No.
I know that they talked about possibly having in Saskatoon. So I had a conversation with Mike Branshaw on Tuesday this week, and he said there's a possibility that they're trying to get something going in the different regions.
Yeah.
So it'll be a maritime championship of some sort, and where it's hosted, we're not 100% sure. And what teams will be there, we're not 100% sure,
right on.
But at least something maybe we can play for.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, we got to get these COVID cases down or it's not going to happen.
Exactly. Anyway, on to our guests. We get Yusuf Davids Jr. coming on from the US down.
Yeah.
He's from originally Long Beach, California. Now he lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. Sick. So, he's an interesting dude. I follow him on social media, and you know, he's likes to put his content out there, and seems like a really good guy. And I can't wait to hear, you know, his story of growing up in California, playing baseball, and then doing the switchover, kind of like, you know, Cam Schiller did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, I love hearing those stories about. You
oh,
know,
me God. Too. It's interesting for us too, because we're discovering guys that we don't.
Yeah.
I've never met, obviously, but we get to talk to and find out their stories. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. And the other funny thing is he's doing the interview from Denver, Colorado airport because he's on his way to Florida for a ball tournament. So We get to
lucky.
Ask, yeah, I know. He gets to go travel to go.
How the fuck can he fly?
U.S. anything,
holy
man.
Holy shit.
No holds barred.
Man, yeah. I wonder what their cases are like today.
45,000? I don't know. I just made
in
that
Denver.
Up. Yeah, in Denver alone. No, anyway, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good for him. Lucky for them, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll see what the tournament's all about anyway. And
yeah, for sure.
See, hear his whole story. But anyway, so let's get to him.
All right, sounds good.
All right, here we go. Yus, thanks for coming on the podcast, pal.
Oh man, pleasure again, man. Pleasure for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, so this is gonna be our first episode where our guest is sitting in an airport conducting an interview. So it's kind of fitting though. You're on your way to a ball tournament. Who are you with? Where's the tournament at?
I'll be 100% honest with you. I have no clue what the name of the team is. I have no clue. What I do know is that it's somewhere in Orlando. I'm actually going to be with, Cam Schiller is going to be with me this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Nick Mullins, team captain. Rob Swire and Juan Puerto, I believe, is going to be here this weekend. So
oh, right on.
Fun weekend for sure.
Not too bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
At least you get to, get some ball in the... Like,
I'm very appreciative of being able to at least play still, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. So how has the ball scene been, you know, since the pandemic hit?
You know what? It's been a little different. I mean, but it's been consistent, you know, as shocking as that may sound. Last summer, USA, we definitely had a lot of tournaments, normally on the East Coast, like Wisconsin area, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Jersey area. So it was a lot of stuff there. Where we had they put together a nice little couple of tournaments for us to play, and pitching was pretty good too. So I mean, it was good to at least have something. But for the most part, I'd be lying if I if I missed having the Canadians and the RGs. You know, it's always good to have them.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, like unfortunately, us up here, we're not allowed to travel into the States, and you know, our guys are missing out on some good tournaments down there. It's really unfortunate. So hopefully shit gets back on track here.
Speaking of shit getting back on track, what are the cases like? Randy and I were just talking about before we called you. What are the cases like where you live?
I'm currently now, I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's kind of still the same. You know, you have to wear your mask and there's certain places you can go in. But for the most part, I mean, when I look on TV, it looks like cases, as far as that, it's going down.
Oh, good. Good.
I think people are at a point where it's just, hey, wear your mask. Vaccines are going out, and it's one of those things where I think we're all at a point where we all want to get back to our normal lives.
That's right.
It really does become a team effort. So, regardless of what your views are on it, we all have different views.
Yeah.
I'm at a point mentally where I'm like, hey, I just want to get back to normal life.
That's right. 100%.
So I kind of put all that stuff aside of if vaccine is good or not good. And I just say, hey, I want to get back to where I can walk in a grocery store when I have to wear a mask again. That's kind of where I'm at mentally.
Makes sense, man. Now I noticed, you travel quite a bit for your job. What is it?
Yes.
What do you do exactly?
So I'm a safety technician by trade. So what I do is, it's all oil refinery business. So, I don't know if they had those out there in Canada or not. I've never been out there.
Oh yeah.
Kind of work.
So basically
it's like, for me, like I do permits, I do safety checks, equipment, fresh air sampling, and just kind of other, tedious tasks. But it's just pretty much, I view it as like almost like the police inside of a refinery. You just kind of make sure everybody has their equipment, safety gear, stuff like that. So it's a pretty fun job. And obviously you do travel a lot for it, but it's been a profession that I've enjoyed for the last, I'd say, 6 years now.
Oh, that's good.
It's an enjoyable job. I do a lot. I do like it.
That's right awesome. On. That's good. So anyway, we started a thing on here a few weeks ago called Quick Pitches. I'm going to throw out 10 random questions to you, and you answer them as best you can.
And as quickly as possible.
Okay, here we go. First one. Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in?
Miami, Florida.
Right on. Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre?
Aaron Rodgers, without a doubt.
I figured that was going to be a trick one for you. I gotta stop this for a sec. So what, I know Aaron Rodgers is high on your list. Where does Brett Favre rate?
You know, what's crazy. It's funny you mentioned him. That's why it's kind of contradicting my answer. I started watching football because of Brett Favre. First guy I remember watching TV, watching, seeing now, and my dad watching football, and he was the first guy I seen. And at the time, Brett Favre was, he was the man. So, you know, my dad, he's a Raiders fan, but I remember, I think the Raiders and Green Bay were playing, and I just remember, you know, everybody just jumping up. I think it might have been a playoff game, possibly. I could be wrong.
Oh, that's cool.
But I was very, very young. I was like 4 or 5, and I just remember them, you know, jumping up and Brett Favre, and it was just one of those things where it just kind of came. And as I got older, I just kind of grew a liking to him. So, and after that, I just became a natural Packer fan, or should I say, cheesehead?
Yeah.
And it's become a great thing for me.
That's awesome.
Cool. So I'm surprised you haven't switched to being a Raiders fan now that they're in Vegas.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I will go to the stadium. I will definitely go to the one of the games there for sure. Yeah. I definitely want to check out the new stadium.
Right on. All right, back to it. If you could go back in time to one sporting event, what would it be?
Oh, shoot. High school state championship game. I would love to go back to that. That'd be one moment that I want to go back. I definitely had a heartbreaker there for that one. Walk off home run and lose the state championship. So that's one of those where I wish I could go back. Yeah, I had the pleasure of being in center field and watching that sail over my head. That would be for me. I own those moments for sure. I own them. So that'd be one stinger, a moment that I would love to go back to and kind of, you know, fix that.
No doubt.
I'd like to go back to the lingerie football championship game of 1986. Those guys,
you know,
are good.
I am guilty of definitely watching that. I was like, oh, wait, how is this not a big deal? When
it's
huge.
Yeah, really, eh? Oh, shit. Oh, freak. Okay, so what's my next one? Okay, what does a person need to be happy?
Peace.
Right.
Freedom of time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
What's your go-to drink of choice?
You know what? Vodka Sprite.
Okay.
I figured that may sound. Vodka Sprite, it's like an energy, but it also kind of gives me a good vibe also. So I mean, it's one of my favorites.
Right on. If the toilet paper is really low but not completely out, do you replace it or leave it for someone else?
You're fucked.
Oh, I have the tendency to replace. I definitely will replace it. Right. I know. You know, we're all in those moments where I've been in those moments where it sucks to sit down and you have to go and you look over and you look, you're like, oh shit, there's no toilet paper, and then you already, I definitely will be that guy to replace. I know how that feels.
You knew he was going to answer that anyway, because he just said peace before that.
yes, definitely.
All right. If you could sit down and have a drink with one celebrity, who is it?
Ooh, shoot. I would say Jay-Z.
Nice. I actually got to see Jay-Z.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I saw him on Long Island.
It's pretty crazy. He's like a blimp in the radar, man. You don't really see him much in the public anymore, bro. Yeah. One of those guys, you know, I really want to talk to him as far as business. I just want to know what he's done to get to where he's at, you know?
Yep, for sure. If your life was a movie, what two songs would headline the soundtrack?
Jesus, these are hard questions, dude.
Yeah, they are. Well, first one, I say Hard Knock Life.
Yep.
Hard Knock Life. It's really hard for me to pick the second one.
On the spot.
Ask somebody in the airport.
I wish.
The cleaner.
And there's a song, it's called Prolific by Nipsey Hussle.
Okay. I'm gonna Spotify that. I'm gonna Spotify that when we're done here.
That's cool.
Check them out.
What job would you absolutely be horrible at?
Horrible. I would say probably plumbing. Plumbing. That'd be a random one for me. Yep. Yeah, I don't think I'd like that job that much, but you know, hey.
Yeah.
All right, last one. WBSC championships or Pan Am games?
Oh, I gotta go with WBSC.
That good answer.
Best of the best.
Yeah. Best of the best, man. Pan Am's definitely stung a little bit, but WBSC, a lot of friends across the world in the sports. So, I mean, it's always good to have all the competition there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So on to you. give us some background on yourself. Tell us about, you know, growing up in Long Beach and what that was like.
I would say for me, it was definitely tough growing up. I didn't live in the best neighborhoods. Unfortunately, you know, street life, gang life, all that stuff around me. And obviously, I navigated through that. I had fallen in love with baseball. My dad, he's technically not my biological dad, but I call him my dad. Obviously, he raised me. Mm-hmm. So he got me into baseball at like, what, five years old. And I just fell in love with that. And that was always kind of like my outlet, you know?
Yeah.
You know, my surroundings weren't always the best. And as I got older, up until about my freshman year of high school, Long Beach, the side of Long Beach I live on, east side of Long Beach, is just wasn't the best area. And I just made a choice to leave. And I ended up taking a gamble and moving with my biological dad. And I moved to Texas. Went out there and played ball. And then he ended up actually deploying, because he's in the Army. So he ended up deploying to Afghanistan my junior year. And from there, I went to Hampton, Virginia. So I kind of was a military brat for a little while and experienced that. So, I mean, I did a lot of traveling since I was young. So it kind of made, you know, obviously the adult life a lot easier when it comes to what I do now.
Right.
So how was the, like, doing those moves? How, you know, how was that, you know, for you? You know, fitting in.
It was tough, man. I mean, that's what I feel for military kids, because you know you have to up. You never know. You've got to up and leave, and you build relationships. You know, obviously, as you get older, you know a lot of people that you probably talk to in your childhood. Not all of them you're going to get a chance to speak to. So the transition for some people might be easier, but for the most part, I mean, you're going from place to place. It becomes it's a headache. It's hard to try to meet new people. But I always have been an outgoing person, and I've always been vocal and talking to people. So for me, I was able to make that transition kind of comfortable.
It'd be tough being the new kid everywhere you went, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. And that's the one thing that always was on my side was baseball. I mean, everywhere I went, I always tried for the baseball team, and I would make the team. So I would get friends naturally from that. So that kind of helped in a way. But for the most part, yeah, the transitions were obviously a little bit tough as far as full school around, you know, dealing with all the kids. And you know, different environments.
It's amazing how sports creates insta friends.
Yeah,
yeah. Like you gain so many friends. Like we have so many friends from sports.
Yeah,
like it's the best thing on earth. I love it.
Yeah,
definitely, man. Definitely.
Yep.
And that's one thing I'm thankful for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I mean, you touched on that. If you could go back to one game, it would be that that game you talked about. What are some of the you know, highlights you had playing baseball growing up?
Outside of all the transitions, I mean, I just got to watch the progress and the hard work. You know, I'm a smaller guy. I'm like 5'7", 5'8". At the time, I was probably like maybe 130 pounds. I was not the biggest guy.
Yeah.
But I had heart, man. I had speed, and I had heart. And it was just one of those things where getting going, leading up to that, you know, I wasn't in the weight room as a young kid. I just had that grit. And leading up to that point, my senior year, I say my biggest highlight, I threw a no-hitter my senior year at Hampton High School. Yeah, I
think
that's one of my prized possessions. My mom still has the ball. I have a glass in a little glass container at her house there. So I mean, it's one of those things that I'm one of my biggest accomplishments outside of Pan Ams, you know, and WBOC. But that were my highlights.
So like growing up, like, you know, playing baseball at that level, is everybody, you know, focused on, you know, getting a scholarship or, you know, possibly going to, you know, getting drafted to Major League Baseball? Is that the ultimate goal of everybody?
Yeah, I would say during my era of playing baseball, definitely. From the time I was 14, it really started. I played in the league out of Long Beach on Yearly Park. Mm-hmm. And we had a guy, I think he's in the majors now. I don't remember what franchise he's with, but he's bounced around between the Seattle Mariners and the Dodgers. We had a kid named Chase DeJong who was throwing 91 miles per hour at 14 years old. And he was in our league.
Holy shit.
So, I mean, there's a few guys. You know, J.P. Crawford is actually a good friend of mine. We played ball growing up as kids.
Oh, yeah.
And travel ball. He's the starting shortstop for the Mariners right now, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of talent. There's a bunch of guys I can try to remember off the top of my head here, but just a lot of talent. And that was always the end goal from the time I was 14 all the way until 16, 17, getting out of high school.
Yeah.
The scholarships, you know, everybody And there's so many, every state I went to, from Texas even to Virginia, there was always one or two guys within my league that were touching mid-90s. So, I mean, it was just something that you really had to put in some serious work to kind of stay, stay up to par with those guys.
That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, actually, I noticed in your USA profile on there that you, your dream job is GM for the LA Dodgers. That would be amazing.
I have aspirations. Oh, that would be absolutely amazing.
What would you do? What would you do with them right now? Or you wouldn't do anything.
You're not moving Mookie.
I'm not moving. I think honestly, we're not moving anything. I wish we could have kept a few guys. I understand business is business, and there's certain things that have to happen. And you know, we're in a state now with baseball where guys are going for those contracts, as we know. So I can't get mad at anybody for wanting to sign a $300-400 million contract for 10 years or 14 years. Who am I to judge? You're winning in life at that point. So
yeah, exactly.
I get it
for sure. So how and when did you get involved in the game of fast pitch?
I would say, honestly, I'd say late 2015, I got a glimpse of it. I started off actually playing modified. And then 2016, I made that transition into fast pitch, early 2016, actually. And I had a teammate, I still play with Kevin Castillo. He kind of brought me around the ropes, even because, I mean, at that point, I was playing in a league out in Santa Fe Springs, like SoCal area. And it was a decent fast pitch league. But there's not, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of guys that can play at that top tier level. And Kevin was one of the few guys in our area that was, you know, involved with the USA team. And we just happened to be on the same squad.
Yeah.
And he was the one that really, for me, he set me down and was saying, hey, if you want to play at this level, you have to put the work in. You have to get the exposure. And so I started working my tail off. My first at bat playing fast pitch, I remember it was a nightly game. And I believe in like Norwalk area. And I faced a guy who's actually on my team now named Lamar Goss, one of my best friends actually to this date. Yeah. Now, we just have a unique brotherhood. And I'm sure he'll listen to this podcast soon and he'll say something. He'll probably comment something funny underneath there just to mess with me.
Nice. But,
that's my guy, man. That's my guy.
Oh, right on.
Like good brother. Yeah. But my first at bat was against him. And he'll tell you, this is back when he was throwing probably close to, I say high 70s, maybe low 80, and he had no control whatsoever.
That's fun.
Yeah.
And so I mean, he threw a few right over my head, and I mean, I'm ducking, but you know, he received to throw maybe two or three balls over my head, and then boom, 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 struck me out three straight pitches down the middle. I didn't touch not one. Mind you, I'm straight off of baseball mentality. Yeah. I had no understanding of, you know, what was even out there. And so in my mind, I was like, holy crap, this is insane. But at the same time, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge is what made me really fall in love with the sport. And I played with a team before that named Balboa. And there's a guy named Cecilio. And he passed away a few years back. May he rest in peace. And but he was one of those coaches for me. That I've had a few coaches outside of my dad where they're just really tough on me. Where, you know, if I pop up, you know, as small as I was, they instilled in me, you need to learn how to slap, you need to know how to get the bunch down, you know, all the fundamentals of the game. And whenever I would mess up or not do those things, he would just get on me completely. And it was one of those things where, you know, at the time, because I was young, I was like probably 19, 20, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I was just one of those little knuckleheads, man. I wasn't hearing it, but I look back at it now and it really molded me into where I am with the sport because, I mean, I needed that.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things, man. I really needed that. And I built off of that and then slowly transitioned into the team I have now, which is those guys, Fast Pitch Club. And that's why I came involved with Kevin. And it was Kevin who was like, hey, you can play at the top level. You just have to put the work in. And so, my first real shot, and you could talk to like Greg Leather and Coach Hicks, they'll tell you, my first real shot, I was playing with this team that was going to the USA Invitational that we have now. I think it's called the NIT now, but it was the Invitational back then. And it was in Ashland, Ohio. And it was last minute. I talked to who I play with now with JMB Bombers. At the time, they were JMB Payne, but a guy named Bob Berger, the manager. Mm. And you know, he was like, hey, you know, I asked him, hey, can I come? You know, I want to get a chance to go out there and play. And he was like, hey, you know, unfortunately we're last minute. He said, if you can book a flight, you know, I'll be glad to have you. He had already booked everything for the squad. And I kid you not, I spent like almost $700 on a last minute flight to get out there. And I was able to meet Coach Danny Brucker, which, you know, he passed away recently. Yeah. And I was able to meet him, Coach Leather, Coach Hackett, Coach Hicks, Coach McCurry, all these guys. And from there, I just had a really good tournament, a good showing. And I ended up that summer, I ended up playing with the New York Gremlins for most of that summer, and then ended up playing with the Poligro Gremlins, the baby brother team, for the ISC. And that's kind of where I got my start, man. And from there, it's just been a journey. Just been growing from there.
Right on. So that first ISC tournament, what do you recall about that?
Oh, man, that was a very surreal experience. I got to obviously experience Adam Folker and I think Lucas Mata, the Juan Portolicios, Sean Cleary.
That's pretty good.
All these guys. You can imagine how I was looking around, eyes big like deer in the headlights. It's like, what is this? You know, and but it was one of those things where, you know, I got my experience. I did pretty well. I did really well my first year at ISCs. And I just, you know, obviously, I had stuff to work on. I still definitely, that's when it came to the top of the top pitchers, I definitely struggled. Got pumped a few times from them. But nonetheless, it was a learning experience, and I just built from there, man.
Right on.
And I took the initiative. You know, I really instilled what my buddy Kevin told me. He's like, you need to, you know, I think that year, I think he went to New Zealand, and so the following year, I went to New Zealand in the beginning of 2017. I left like a day after New Year's and went there. I played ball in New Zealand for 3 months, and I think that was the turning point for me as far as getting my feet, you know, into the ground as far as this game, because I faced some of the best pitchers in the world over there on a weekly basis. And just constantly the way they play there, it's so intense. And they're very fundamental based. And I think I needed that. And I came back home and, man, I couldn't tell you, everything looked like a beach ball.
Is that right?
When I came home.
That's good.
The game was really slowed down for me. And I think my mental definitely grew being there. So I mean, that was just one of those things where I just, you know, putting in the hard work and, you know, sacrificing that time to grow in the sport. And I honestly believe, had I not done that, I don't think that I would probably be where I am today in the sport.
Yeah, you may not be catching a flight to Florida right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, actually, so it's crazy how it all works.
I was going to ask you about the New Zealand gig there. Did you do some coaching down there as well for some young kids? I did. How was that?
I did. I coached. That was awesome. I mean, that was my first time actually coaching anything. So it was a challenge. You know, they had asked me, you know, hey, are you interested in doing it? I mean, because the club that I played there was the Waitakere Bears. And they had asked me, it was a 16 and under club. And, the host family that I stayed with, their daughter plays for the club, team club there. So she was, you know, me and her have a really great relationship now. And she was like, oh, she was the one that kind of brought it up to me. Hey, you feel like, you know, want to coach, you know, our team? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And I had a buddy over there. I'm not sure if you might know him. His name is Zachary Pierce. His nickname is Zippy.
Zippy plays for Saskatchewan. He's from Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can never pronounce that city.
Saskatchewan.
I can never pronounce it.
Neither can we. Him,
yeah, it's tough. It's a tough city. But me and him were roommates out there for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And we both coached this young team out there. And it was a fun experience. I was able, you know, give size and, you know, help out with the hitting. And I couldn't really help with the pitching much. I'm not a pitcher. I'm learning. But, you know, but most of all, I was helping with the hitting. And it was just really awesome to see them fully engage and just learn, you know, and be like them. Definitely, those kids were awesome. So
that's great. It's
something I definitely treasure. And I mean, I do have future aspirations to train and coach kids in the future as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So to me, it sounds like you love the sport, which I'm going to guess. Yes, you do.
Yes, of course. 100%.
I want to know, what did you find most difficult transitioning from baseball over to fast pitch? Was it the up in the pitching is what I'm kind of getting at? Because Cam Sheller, we touched on that with him as well.
Yeah,
definitely. I would definitely say that the timing, as far as obviously the pitch speed, it's a lot closer.
Yeah.
You go from baseball distance and, you know, from what I experienced, you face guys coming at you every week throwing mid-90s. And obviously that's still difficult to hit. But now you got a guy like Sean Cleary or Adam Folker, and they're so not that far from you, and they're throwing mid-80s. And I didn't know anything about a rise ball or a low rise or a drop. All these things, you know, you know, it's just one of those things where it took a lot of hard work to, you know, get comfortable in the box. And I think really you learn from just repetition. And that was the thing that was instilled in me from the very when I first started playing at the top tier level, was, hey, you have to face that pitching. And that's where I started playing with teams where I know I would face good pitching year round, because that's how you grow.
Right.
Yeah. And that was just kind of like my thing. So I think just the repetitions, constantly playing. Obviously, I travel a lot, so I play a lot of tournaments yearly, so I see different types of pitches. And I just kind of just learn from there. And it's, honestly, it's to the point now where I was just talking to one of my buddies from Texas a few days ago. And I was like, man, I don't know if there's a pitcher that's at the top tier level in this game that I haven't faced yet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of awesome to really look back and think about that. It's like, man, that's a lot.
Yeah, 100%.
And, yeah, I guess so.
You know, and that's, that's one of my advice I give to the younger guys that come in is, you know, just keep playing. You know, there's a lot of guys that play baseball and they'll say they don't have the aspiration or they don't make it. They have injuries, all these things come into play, trying to make it to the show, because only a small percentage do.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, they'll go play slow pitch. And I'm not knocking slow pitch, but, you know, me.
No, you're allowed to.
I'm a fast-paced guy. It's hard for me, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't do it. So it's like finding this sport was the closest thing to baseball. You know, unfortunately for me, coming out of high school, I also suffered a bicep tear. And so that also slowed me down. I pitched out of the 36 games that we played my senior year. I pitched probably 26, 27 games. So I really burned myself out.
Wow.
That last year. Yeah. And I was on the verge of what I was told from my doctor at the time. And I never really, you guys are getting the first scoop on this, because I've never told anybody about this, but I was on the verge of having a Tommy John scare from the, you know, just from throwing so much.
Wow.
And not properly taking care of my arm. So it was one of those things where I took a few years off and would just kind of figure out, you know, navigate my way through life. And had I not done that, I don't think I'd be playing ball now too. So it was one of those things where I definitely tell guys to take care of their bodies. And you know, that's why I push the fitness, you know, industry. I like to push fitness out there, because it's important, you know, definitely important.
Yeah, sure is.
Now, was there any adjustment to, you know, playing the outfield coming from baseball, you know, into the fast pitch?
I won't lie to you, it was very easy, a lot easier for me just from the speed perspective, because, you know, baseball fields are a lot larger.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I also appreciated the shortage of the base pad too. That was awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, of course.
I love that. I love having, you know, it doesn't take me long to get down first baseline, and you know, I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah.
As far as that transition, not really. I think for me, it was, it's just the pitching, man, just getting adjusted to guys that throw that hard and they can hit you with a changeup at any moment and you're just knee buckling trying to hit this thing. So it's definitely been a transition for that.
Yeah. Now I want to touch on the 2017 ISCs. You guys would finish runner up to Hill United.
We watched that game.
Yeah, we watched that game. Tell us about that run. You guys went on it. It had to be, you know, pretty special for you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't on that team that year.
What?
Well, then my research is terrible.
You're fucked, Randy.
Yeah.
I did watch the game. Yeah. Didn't Devo pitch for the Bombers?
Devo was there.
Devo, I watched that game. I was there. So I joined the year after. I joined the 2018 year. But that year I was actually on verge of playing with them. I was on verge of playing with them that year. And I forgot what happened. It was like last minute. I wasn't sure if I was going to be playing ball that summer, actually. And last minute, I ended up hopping on a team from Pennsylvania, Farmersville. No, they're Bear Bottom Lodge now, but they were Farmersville Haymakers at the time. So, but that team, I watched that. I know all those guys. But yeah, that year, shoot, we beat. Who was it? The only team that we played that year that was perennial was Kegel Black Knights. Yep. I played with in 2019, and then we had played A1 Power that year, and they had Lucas Mata. So that was interesting. That was my first time seeing him pitch in person. And man, oh man, that guy.
He's not bad.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So did you say you played in Kegel in 2019?
Yeah, 2019 I played with Kegel.
So you played with Scoff and Brady.
Yeah, I played with Brady. Yeah, good old Brady.
Oh, shit.
Did you really? Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That guy's a beauty.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's awesome, man. He's an awesome guy, man.
He's from Manitoba.
Yeah. That year was interesting. We had a pretty good team in 2019. We had him.
You guys did, yeah.
We had Schofield. We had Justin Schofield.
Yeah, Schof.
Kyle Cowick, Brain, Redhead.
Yeah, you guys had a good team.
Botterillo. We had a really good team that year, man. We actually gave Hill United a pretty good game that year. We had a very, very close niche game.
Yeah.
Up until like I think the 6th or 7th, and we had a no hitter. Brady was throwing a game in his life that day. I remember that game. Yeah. We had a no hitter going through 5, I believe. Pretty awesome.
Right on.
That's awesome.
Well, let's get off my stupid research there. Jesus,
10 quick questions for you. Do you actually look up?
I did play with the Bombers. My first year was 2018. I played JMB Bombers.
Okay, man. For some reason, I was thinking it was 2017. I don't know why, but anyway, let's jump to U.S. Men's National Team.
Are you sure he played on it, Randy?
I know you were on this. So, what was it like to get the phone call that you're now named to the U.S. Men's National Team?
Oh, man, it was surreal. I was actually at home with my family, and I got the call, and then I think they sent like an email also, and then they announced it obviously on Facebook and at the USA website, and man, it was just one of those like. Hard work pays off, you know. I mean, I put a lot of effort over the years, and it was something that I've always aspired to do. I feel like that, honestly, was probably one of the biggest highlights, was just making the team. It's just such an honor to be able to represent your country, no matter where you're at. It's just an honor to be able to play, and obviously, it's just a great group of guys, and I can say so much about all the guys on the team and the coaching staff, and what I cherish the most about most of them, or I would say most, but all of them, let me get that correct, all of them, is just the fact that they're just so opening, and they're always giving me advice, always helpful and encouraging. And me, I'm just like a sponge. So, I mean, it's just one of the things where I've learned so much over the years. And even with the club circuit, there's all those guys playing the club circuit too. So, I mean, it's just year round. It's just, like you said earlier, it's just a small niche of guys, that you meet. And it's just become one of the best things about life for me, is meeting these awesome people.
Yeah. Well, we say it all the time on here, as soon as you play with or play against somebody in the game of fast pitch, it's almost like it's a brotherhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it really is, man. It really is. Like, even this weekend, it's just, I play with these guys so much. So it's just going to be fun. Like, we're going to embrace each other and we're going to have fun. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's awesome, man. Like I said, I went from dealing with what I was dealing with coming out of high school and dealing with my environment to traveling the world. All because of a softball. When I really look back at it, it's like, man, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes to show a lot, say a lot about yours and, Cam Schiller's athletic ability to go from baseball to the world stage of fast pitch. I mean, that says a lot about, your athletic ability.
Yeah, your abilities.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I mean, it's just, it was definitely a climb. The transition was definitely difficult. And I think even Cam will agree too. I think it's just getting those repetitions in and just playing, traveling, playing ball. You just kind of get in the rhythm of things and you just go from there. And it's really on you to put in the hard work to get to that point.
Yep, for sure. So 2019, that would have been a pretty busy year for you. First was the WBSCs in Czech Republic, where you guys would finish 5th. What was your thoughts on, on your first world tournament?
It was definitely, I won't lie to you, I was definitely a little nervous. It was like nervous, but also like eager to play. It's eager to get out there. And, the environment there was just amazing. The big crowds, you got, kids, they don't even know who you are, and they're embracing you. It's just the environment was just such a surreal experience, and something I'll never forget. I mean, and just the competition. And you have, again, you have a small circuit of all these guys from all parts of the world, but when we get out there, it's go time. It's competition mode. You're all trying to win. So you get that different side of everybody, where everybody kind of locks in and you're there for a purpose. And I got to say, man, it's just nothing beats facing that top competition and going out there on a daily basis and just competing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we had Jakub Kapriva from the Czech Republic on here as a guest, and he's a manager for the team. And he said the atmosphere over there for that was just, phenomenal.
Oh, unreal. Oh, it was unreal, man. And I remember the USA Canada game. It was pretty intense. What else did we have? Even the USA Venezuela game, and the crowds, like, they were always filled. You know, it was just amazing. And it didn't matter who it was; they were cheering for both teams. It was pretty cool, man. Yeah.
It was also one of those rare occasions where, you know, you didn't have Canada, New Zealand, or Australia in the finals. You had Argentina and Japan in the finals, which
it was definitely shocking to see the result of that. I won't lie to you; I was like, wow. But, you know, Argentina, you know, as far as 2019 goes, they just had the best year, you know, out of everybody. They just were red hot, man. They hit the ball. They got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
And those guys have been playing with each other. A lot of people don't talk about that. They have been, that group of guys been playing with each other since 17, 18, 19 years old. So they got a lot of years of chemistry built in, you know, and then here they are now. And they're still pretty young. That's what makes it even scarier about that group of guys.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and it's, you know, I think it's good for the game, you know, to have the new teams go into the finals and, you know, level in the playing field, I guess, more or less.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always good. I mean, what's good about those type of countries, you know, they have a lot of pitchers that we don't know, a lot of, you know, athletes that we don't know about. And they're on the verge of being there pretty soon, too. So it's just one of the things where, you know, the sport is always growing, and you're always going to see one or two new guys that you've never seen before. It's like, oh, man, that guy's going to be a really, really, really good talent when he gets there. And, you know, it's exactly why I love the sport so much. It's just you can't beat it, man. I mean, what's better than traveling the world and having relationships with other people?
Well, it's the best sport in the world. There's no question.
It really is. And to be honest with you, I feel like our sport is definitely undermined. It's not broadcasted enough. I feel like we don't get as much as respect that we deserve.
No.
I'll tell you something that was crazy about the Pan Ams. And we had the U.S. Women's National Team there for the Pan Ams. Mm-hmm. They got there the day of or the day before. We had played the gold medal game there, and they watched the gold medal game against Argentina from us. And after the game, you know, they came to talk to us and, you know, congratulating us on, you know, just competing as best as we can. And I forgot who I was speaking with, but she was like, I didn't even know that, you know, they had guys that threw that hard. Like, they were so mind-blown.
Jesus. By it.
Wow. And I was like, they were watching Mata, Hume Mata. And he was throwing mid-80s for sure. He was throwing so hard. I mean, there was one that he threw me a, I think it was a dipper, but you could just hear the zip on it so loud that I remember stepping out of the box and I looked at Leather and he just kind of put his hands on his hips like, one of those. Man, I was like, I realize how hard this dude's throwing right now. I mean, like I said, Argentina just had a really good year. Yeah. It got hot at the right time.
But
it just goes to show.
Yeah. Now, you're speaking of that silver medal at Pan Am Games, where would you rank that at, you know, as one of those special moments in your life?
Yeah, definitely top two. I mean, it could be number one. I mean, it's just such a surreal moment. I mean, to sit on a podium,
it's huge.
To receive anything, you know, we hadn't done that in, I think they said 16 years.
Know, it's been a long time.
That's how long it's been. It's just, you know, it was just an amazing accomplishment in itself, and to be able to come home. I remember I got back home because at the time I was still in California, and I flew into the Orange County airport, and I remember getting off the plane. I wore my medal all the way home. I did not take it off.
Damn straight.
And I remember getting off, and I had random people. A lot of people just clapping for me. They had no clue what it was for. I just had my jacket on with the medal, and they were clapping for me. And just like, it was so real, man. And just like,
hey, is that medal full of chocolate?
did you guys have a quick turnaround? Didn't you guys have to get to the ISCs right away after the Pan Ams?
Yeah, right after that. I think I had maybe a few days, if I'm not mistaken. And man, it was a tough transition. I won't lie, man. I mean, that was a lot of ball.
Yeah.
To just go back and forth like that. And even with the WBSC, because I was with Kegel that summer. And we had tournaments, so I had, I think it was like Boys of Summer tournament. I played the most ball I've ever played since I started playing fast pitch that year, 2019. That entire summer, by the time it ended, I won't lie to you, I was so burnt out.
No doubt. So, was there any burnout from, like, not just you, like, from any of the other guys by the time you guys got to the ISCs? Because, I mean, that's a lot of ball in a 2 month period.
Oh, yeah, I'd imagine, man. And it's one of those things where I kind of regret it because it's like, well, not regret obviously the experiences, but
yeah,
just the amount of ball that was played that year. Because I got to the IAC, and you know, obviously I'm going to go out there and get my 100%. But yeah, I can admit that I didn't feel at 100%, and I felt like it kind of reflected that year. You know, IAC the year prior, 2018, I had my best year at IACs. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, make the all world as an outfielder that year.
Mm.
And but I didn't play as much ball that year, and there wasn't any international competition, so I really had a lot of time to focus on that.
Yeah, keep your body healthy.
Yeah, my body. You know, I mean, shoot, man. I mean, it was just from the weekend. I must have played more than 15 tournaments as a collective that summer.
That's crazy.
So it was just, wow. Yeah, it was insane, man. It was insane. It really was.
That's crazy. Actually, I forgot to touch on that 2018 All World. You know, how special was that for you to get named to that All World team?
Oh man, I mean, that's another top moment there.
Yeah.
It just felt like, you know, I went to New Zealand 2017, and from there I realized I have to get better. I have to be able to hit the top tier pitching so I can get comfortable focusing and honing my skills. For me being a smaller lefty, you know, my slapping was a big, and I'm just really starting to really get fully comfortable with it. But
yeah,
I knew that in order for me to be able to get to that point, I had to learn how to hit these guys, you know, that are throwing 80s and then can chop a changeup on you at any moment. So it's just one of those things where going there and then making that transition and just working, playing a lot of ball. And then, you know, finally 2018, it just clicked. I got to the world tournament, and I was just hitting the ball, doing everything I could to, you know, help the team win. That was really the goal. You know, you don't really focus on, you know, as far as the stats, you know, you don't really focus on that. You focus on trying to win a ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And, that whole summer, that's really what it was about for me. It was just proving that, hey, I deserve to be here, you know, and that hard work really paid off.
Right on. So moving forward, you know, when things get back to normal, what are some of the goals that you have for yourself personally?
Personally, I mean, obviously fitness. I think I definitely want to obviously just, you know, stay healthy. I think that's one thing that I didn't take this obviously seriously in 2019. I was definitely in a lot of pain, complaining that much. And it was one of those things where I realized going forward, like, hey, your body is your temple. So that's something that I take serious now, where I'm hydrated, stretching, obviously in the gym, just doing all the little things is just to have that longevity. I think that right there alone is going to be able to allow me to propel in the game as far as being consistent at the plate, defensively, you know, just obviously health. You know, health is everything.
Yep.
And I think a lot of guys, they'll agree with me on that, that that's probably the most important thing that'll allow you to have that success.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we get on to the final thing with the player association, I want to ask you about Defy the Odds. Maybe enlighten us on this brand that you're working on.
Yeah, so it's my personal clothing brand that I've been pondering on. I actually did have a different name for it previously, but I found out that name was trademarked, and I didn't want to deal with any, you know, obviously no legal issues with that.
Yeah.
So I had to sit down and kind of come up with something that just fits.
Yeah. You
know, I want to create something that not only was just something that I believe in, but I know everybody else believes in. And obviously, coming from where I come from, you know, a lot of guys get the opportunity to even get into the position where I'm in now. And Defy the Odds, that name really just really reflects a lot about my childhood and just what I went through and what a lot of men go through. It doesn't matter what race, anywhere, everybody as men who go through so much in society. And I felt like that name really fits everything that goes on in life. And it could go into so many different arenas, how you look at it. And I definitely want to have it as a fitness brand because, I mean, I always push that, but it can also be used as a casual brand, and it has so much meaning behind it. It's so simple,
but
it does mean a lot. You know, when you think about all the hardships that you do, it doesn't have to be your upbringing. It could just be your adult life. You know, everybody's got bills, you got family, you got so many things that go on. And it was something I've always been passionate about, and I've always wanted to create something of my own. You know, I want to, you know, be productive to society, be productive to the world. And you know, I feel like, you know, clothing, definitely, you know, we all enjoy wearing decent clothing. So I feel like that was a good
way
to go with. So Yeah, so,
I mean,
it's definitely. I got you, man.
Yeah, we could do a swag swap here with outside the shoot and defy the odds.
Definitely, so. Man.
But no, I love the slogan. Like that's cool. A really good slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it's coming soon. I mean, obviously, I was trying to do production with that back in like middle of COVID,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that just didn't work out. I just said, you know what, I would just wait. And so now going on, I think I have my samples. I got actually a few samples coming in here the next few weeks. So once I see how those turn out,
yeah.
I'll be able to put in a bulk order. And I'm actually planning on this summer to actually learn how to do the creation myself.
Awesome.
So eventually I'll be able to, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, so I'm building on it. It's something that hopefully by this summer, I should have some stuff ready for sale and be able to, you know, advertise that to the market.
Right on. We'll definitely put it out for you. I know, I can tell you that.
100%.
First small fee. Appreciate it, man. I really appreciate it.
yeah. First
small sponsorship.
No.
Today's episode is brought to you by.
Gotcha.
Anyway, well, let's get on to Player Association. If you've ever listened to it, this is where I'm going to throw a name to you, and you can say as much or as little about them as you want.
Gotcha.
All right, Freddie. First one is Freddie Carmona.
Oh, good old Fredo, man. Yeah, that's a really good friend from Texas. Another guy, obviously, hard worker. Actually, his family, too, really good friends, his kids. I got a pretty unique relationship with him. He's what I consider, he's just a dog, man. He's a guy I'll definitely play with any day. Very humble guy and just very passionate about the sport, too. And he'll tell you himself that, you know, the friendship that me and him have had over the years. I do go to a few tournaments in Texas every year, so I get a chance to see him a bit. So he's an awesome guy, though, nonetheless.
Sweet.
John. Next is Jenner Christensen.
Hello, Jenner, man. I talked to him quite a bit, too. We played together since I pretty much started playing fast pitch. He actually, if I'm not mistaken, was on that Cali Ace team when I first played fast pitch.
Oh, right on.
Skippily. So we've got a pretty good relationship. I play with him so much, even obviously with the national team too. So he's one of my good friends as well. Nothing but positive things to say about him as well.
Excellent.
Good guy.
Next is Matty Palazzo.
Oh, good old Matty P, team captain, man. he's also, he's been supportive of me since day one. I mean, I got the pleasure of, you know, getting a chance to play, you know, alongside of him in 2019. And he's just, man, his character, man, he's a funny guy. I'm sure you guys probably know a very, very funny character. But he means business. And he's definitely given me advice, even with my as far as my clothing business and even with real estate. So I'm trying to get involved with that. So, I mean, he's a jack of all trades, man. He's a good dude.
Excellent. Next is Robbie Swire.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm actually going to be seeing him here in a few hours.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I've had a few beers with that guy. He's he's always fun. I'm sure you guys know.
He's a Canadian.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely one of my good friends also. He's another guy that's been in the California area for some years, and he's definitely one of the guys that has motivated me to just keep going, you know. So, again, nothing but positive things to say about him, and definitely as far as the partying and going out, he's definitely a fun time to be around, so. Nothing but good to say about him.
That's awesome. Last on the list is Tyler Booley.
Oh, good old Booley, man. He's another one. That's another one I've played with also national team, but I've gone to Minnesota. He's another one. He'll tell you personally that back when I first started, me and him, he's probably, I'll let him tell the story if you guys ever have him on the podcast. I'll tell you about the story. He'll probably rub it in. He'll rub it in my face. I am 0-4. against him pitching. I don't know what it is about him, but I topped it up every single time. But I'll save that story. Let him tell you that. But man, he's just one of those guys. Even just like Jenner, just a really good friend. And
that's nice.
You know, we just clicked, man. We've all kind of grown up in the sport too. So I mean, they've been there since the beginning as well. So obviously, nothing but good things to say about him as well.
That's awesome. All right, Yus, I got to thank you so much for coming on. It's been nice to, you know, finally be able to sit down and chat with you and hear your story, man, because I've been following you online and, you know, I've been waiting anxiously to get to talk to you and, you know, hear your story. And I wish you nothing but success in the future.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. And same to you guys, man. It was obviously a pleasure to speak with you. And obviously I love the podcast. I'm always listening. Looking forward to seeing you guys grow, man. You guys are doing a lot for the game. I try to do my live streams, you know, to kind of grow the sport, but yeah, what you guys do is amazing because it gives an insight to people who don't really know about them inside, and you know, in time it will grow. We know that we know that it will grow, and I appreciate what you guys do. And again, thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks very much for the kind comments. Best of luck to you, and have fun in Orlando, and stay safe out there with all that COVID bullshit too, my friend.
Yeah, I will, man. But man, you guys take care.
All right, brother.
All right, safe travels, Yus.
All right, man. Peace.
See you, pal. Everybody. Man, that was awesome.
Okay, quick pitches. Randy, which movie do they need a sequel to?
For Love of the Game.
If you were a DJ, what would your DJ name be?
MC Drool.
Okay, if you had to become an inanimate object, can't move, for a year, what object would you choose to be?
A rock?
I don't know. And if your life was a movie, what songs would be on the soundtrack?
That's easy.
Fire away.
You're the Inspiration.
Thank you.
And what's another good one?
Anyway.
Barbie Girl.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw that at you.
All right, man. That's tough, man, on the spot.
It is really tough. No, like, Jesus. We're throwing them at you. It's like, if you were two of this, what would they be? Like,
yeah.
He's thinking, that fucking motherfucker.
Damn. Yeah. But no, that was awesome. That was great. That was a great episode.
What a well-spoken, and I can call him a kid. He's only 26 years old, for Christ's sake. So man. What a well-spoken guy. It's nice to hear his story.
And to be able to conduct that in the middle of Denver International Airport.
It reminded me just to think about Erky when he was in the airport and the cleaner was going around him. And but anyway, that was really good. Yep. Very well spoken. Very inspiring, because like he said, he came from not a lot. Mm-hmm. Played baseball, which is a sport that got him out of any trouble that he could have got into. Yep. So he's involved with stuff with what, you know, we always tell kids to do as well, be involved. To move on, as he said, an army brat to the different states and making new friends all of the time, which is great because of the sports. Mm-hmm. And then for him to switch from baseball over to fast pitch, and now he's traveling the goddamn world playing. Yeah. Amazing story.
Awesome. Yeah. And he, and the thing is, he's always like, you know, following on social media, he's always so positive.
Positive.
Everything's positive. And, you know, anybody like that, you wish the best for them.
Yeah. You have to appreciate them for sure.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky.
For sure.
It's awesome.
Anyway,
he was great.
Yeah. What do we got coming up here? I got, Leah Majeski next week. She's the rep for Mizuno USA.
She could also be a sponsor for our podcast.
I know, right? she played 4 years at University of Alabama.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be nice to, you know, talk about her time at Alabama, but also talk about, you know, the corporate side of things 100%. With, you know, such a big corporation.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, man.
So that's cool. Yeah. That's going to be cool.
That's cool.
Other than that, we got to start lining stuff up here.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, Sean Cleary, I was trying to think of a song we could, you know, dub in his name just to try to get him more coaxed to come on the podcast. Yeah. I don't know what it would be, but hey, Sean Cleary, if you're listening, we'd like to get you on the podcast, please.
Yes, for sure.
And Adam Folkart, mate.
Adam Folkart as well. Oh, we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Shelsey's got to get him going. Anyway, what?
Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to the boys down in New Zealand, Beyond the Dugout.
That's right. Congratulations, guys.
Awesome. Fantastic. Awesome. You know, they had Wayne Lialu. They're the first one. And now today's episode, which, you know, when this comes out, it's
tomorrow.
But no, they had Brad Rona, which I listened to this morning. Yeah, and
cool.
And Brad is so soft-spoken. You know, you see him.
He's a monster.
I know. You think he's just going to be like, rah, but he's such a soft-spoken guy.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, what they're doing down there is really, really good.
And, yeah, congratulations, you know, guys.
Props to Chopper and Damien.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Love our sport.
Love our sport. Love our sport.
100%.
Another week.
Stay safe. Get away from COVID.
Yes. Let's get back on track here.
All right, brother.
All right, man.
Have a great weekend and week and whatever week it is.
Whatever day it is. And let's throw on a little Classified.
Yes, it's Classified, baby. It's the weekend on the East Coast. Got a little crazy last night. Woke up in the backseat of a rowboat. No clothes, no
phone. You ready?
Always. I guess I throw on the deep end.
Light it up.
Now I'm just paying the price. High cost of living.
I don't have that video by Sunday. We'll never work in the film industry.
smoker and homeowner. Yeah. Show closer, show boater and stone thrower. Party people and the people staying home sober. It's for the ones who give me love and the cold shoulder. I do this for the loan brokers and the YOLOers. The go-getters and the Monday morning no-showers. It's for the high rollers with no chauffeurs. And the ones who ain't got nothing to hide like homeovers. Yeah. Take a spice rum with a little cold soda. I'm the giving type, organ and bone donor. You can feel the pressure building as you grow older. Spread hard, yeah, I told ya. This is for
the weekend on the West Coast.
And we
got a little crazy last night.
Come on.
Woke up in your backseat of the rowboat.
Had no clothes, no phone.
So I hit the stove off of the deep end. Now I'm just paying the price.
I cost a living.
Is he getting what you need?
Fresh and fresh, yes and the best. No pressure nonetheless. One might come test until they figure out. Just think about knocking the bit, getting this grip, taking a trip, and having a sip. I made your girl want a skinny dip when she seen me. Rub my three times, I made your girl genie. She made my disappear and reappear. Do it then, gave it to her best friend, knew it then. See, I don't even know where I'm at.
But we smoking
somewhere in Nova Scotia, Canada, busting the map. You see, pimpin' ain't got no restrictions. I'm your DJ. While I'm staying in the mixing, fixing the batch.